So today, AFP Audio is talking to Dr. Ryan Hoy. Hi, Ryan.
Hello, Carolyn.
So Ryan is a respiratory physician at the Alfred Hospital in Melbourne and a research fellow at the Department of Epidemiology and Preventive Medicine at Monash University. And he's the author of one of the focused articles in the November 2012 edition of Australian Family Physician. The article is titled Respiratory Problems, Occupational and Environmental Exposures. And the article starts by considering that in an average 40-hour working week, the respiratory tract will come into contact with approximately 14,000 litres of air. So this may now be a pretty obvious question, but why is work a significant issue in respiratory tract exposures, Ryan?
Yeah, thanks, Carolyn. Well, the health of the respiratory tract is really dependent on the quality of air that we breathe. So the air contaminants can cause short-term problems for people, but they may also cause problems in the long term as well. So we want to try to identify the presence of respiratory problems caused by exposures, primarily so we can treat the patient, but also so we can protect other people that might be exposed too, which is very important in an occupational setting.
And so you mentioned air contaminants. What are some of the air contaminants that are more common or more problematic in the work environment?
Well, certainly the things that we see quite frequently these days relate to allergic lung diseases, in particular upper airway diseases like occupational rhinitis or hay fever related to exposures at work, but also occupational asthma, which is generally an allergic lung disease related to several sorts of exposures. So there may be things like exposure to animal dander at work, so working as a vet exposed to cats and dogs and other animals, or even as a research assistant that works with laboratory animals. But it may also be somebody working with chemicals like diisocyanates, which is a very common cause of occupational asthma, and that's found in a really wide range of industries, often used in spray painting, but also in the production of polyurethane foam. So there's really a wide range of exposures that can cause respiratory problems at work.
Okay. And I suppose one of the points for a GP is it's not just perhaps the factories and things like that that you might automatically think are sort of dangerous environments. There's some very white-collar type jobs in that list too to think
about. Well, that's correct. About. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think we do sometimes underestimate the potential effects of exposures in the office environment too. In the article, we do talk about work-related asthma, and asthma can be either caused by work exposures or it can be worsened by work exposures. And in the office environment, there can be things like exposure to strong perfumes worn by co-workers may exacerbate somebody's asthma, or even potentially a malfunctioning photocopier in the office environment can actually cause some respiratory tract irritation and the worsening of asthma as well.
I'll look around the office with a new light. Will symptoms always present immediately, or can what sort of timelines are possible?
So there are some conditions which will present very soon after exposure, but there are some that may not present for many years. And the classic example of a condition which may not present for many years is the asbestos-related lung diseases, and that's through exposure to asbestos, usually at the workplace, and it may not present with some of the really terrible consequences of asbestos exposure, such as mesothelioma, for up to 20 to 40 years after the actual exposure. So certainly many can present soon after exposure, such as when we're seeing somebody with asthma. But yeah, you're exactly right that it may be many years before problems actually do develop.
Yeah. And so we've already mentioned a couple of the types of presentation, so the upper respiratory tract or the rhinitis and occupational asthma. What about vocal cord dysfunction? Because that might be one we might not think of so obviously. What are some of the things that might make us think of an occupational or respiratory cause there?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked, Carol, because I think vocal cord dysfunction is, I think, very much an underappreciated cause of recurrent respiratory symptoms. It's a condition that can mimic asthma. So it's a condition that the people may not be aware of, but essentially it's where the larynx, in particular the vocal cords, go into a state of spasm, and that causes obstruction of the upper airway because of that muscular spasm in the throat, which then can cause shortness of breath, more so difficulty getting air into the chest, and some associated noisy breathing, which may be mistaken as being wheeze. So often it is misdiagnosed as asthma, but often there's an overlap between upper airway dysfunction or vocal cord dysfunction and asthma. And certainly in terms of occupational exposures that can trigger vocal cord dysfunction, they're often irritants at the workplace. So somebody exposed to a high level of irritant dusts or fumes or vapors can actually cause the onset of this problem. But then recurrent symptoms can relate to even lower levels of exposure of irritants. And you know, again, the classic example is somebody exposed to perfumes at the workplace, which then irritate the throat and cause this shortness of breath. I think often people are misdiagnosed as having this allergy to perfumes, which actually more relates to upper airway dysfunction or possibly worsening of asthma related to exposures to those sorts of irritants.
Okay. And I suppose the last group of presentations are probably one that we'll all think of with the hypersensitivity pneumonitises, which is the one full of all the descriptive names like Bird Fancier's lung and the like that we'll all remember. Are they particularly common, or are they perhaps a smaller group of these presentations?
Yeah. No, there's certainly a smaller group of patients with occupational lung diseases, and you know, in my working career, I've only seen about four or five patients that have occupational hypersensitivity pneumonitis. But it's certainly something that should always be considered in somebody that presents with work-related respiratory problems, and they may present with shortness of breath. They may also present with fevers and sweats and more flu-like symptoms in the early stages. But if it's not diagnosed, then it can actually lead to more chronic lung disease like pulmonary fibrosis. But there are certainly classic examples, often people working in farming, the farming industry, exposed to mouldy hay, may develop this allergic lung disease. Mushroom workers' lung is another one that's been very well described. Animal handlers, particular people with pigeons at home. So certainly a lot of different causes. Not a very common lung disease, but certainly something that should always be considered, especially when a patient's referred to a respiratory specialist.
Yep. What sort of things should be triggers for GPs to consider exposure as a cause of a respiratory tract presentation?
Well, I think it's important to ask whether there's a specific exposure that's related to symptoms. So whether a patient notes that their symptoms tend to be worse during the work week and are better on weekends, or in particular whether they're better when they're away from work for a longer period of time, such as during a holiday or on extended leave. And then they worsen when they actually return to work. There's some conditions such as hay fever or rhinitis related to work exposure, which will develop quite quickly after returning to work, but others that may take a few more days. I think it's also just important to ask patients whether they consider a particular exposure might actually be related to their symptoms, because patients generally have pretty good insight into what specific things in their environment they're concerned about in terms of actually causing their symptoms or worsening their lung disease. So I think questioning the patient as to whether they think something in their environment might actually be related to their symptoms.
Okay. And so the article then suggests that perhaps if you are thinking about this, referral to a specialist is likely to be in order, and probably a chest X-ray and spirometry are the tests to have done before that. What are some of the further tests the specialist might then organise?
Yeah, I think it's very important to do those initial investigations, because certainly with some lung diseases such as hypersensitivity pneumonitis, we may find some features on those tests that are suggestive of the condition. But some of the other tests we may perform would include further imaging of the chest, usually with a CT scan, in particular high-resolution CT of the chest. We may then go and perform more complex respiratory function tests with assessment of gas transfer. And if we're considering asthma, we're also performing a bronchial provocation test, which is otherwise known as a methacholine or mannitol challenge test.
Yep. And so in summary, what are some of the key messages that you hope a GP considers when they see a patient after reading this article?
Well, I encourage all GPs to have quite a high index of suspicion when you're seeing a patient with new onset respiratory symptoms or worsening respiratory symptoms, to think about whether an exposure either at work or at home might actually be the cause of that problem, and then to refer them along to a specialist if they can't determine what the underlying respiratory disease actually is. So really the key message is just to think about exposures as a potential cause for the respiratory problem.
Excellent. Thanks very much for talking to us today, Ryan.
Thanks very much, Carolyn.
And I'll just remind people that the full article can be found in the November 2012 edition of Australian Family Physicians.